Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everyone that's able to be out this evening. Please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We are so blessed that we're able to come out on this first day of the week. I see different letters and reports and things from some other preachers, and it's a challenge across the country because of some of the orders and regulations and things that the governments are doing. So we are so blessed that we are able to be able to come out. I see Barb fanning back there. I feel extra hot this evening. I don't know how others feel. So we'll do the best. And that's a blessing that we have a warm building this evening. Anyway, Genesis chapter 12. We have been looking at characters from the book of Genesis and lessons that we can learn from them. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Why did God do that? God did that, we learned from Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God created us to bring glory and honor to him by the choices that we make. And as we go through the book of Genesis, we see that God desires to have a relationship with righteous people. God wants to have a relationship with righteous people. We looked last week at Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and we see as we go through this study that God rewards the righteous and he punishes the unrighteous. This evening we're going to look at Abraham. We learn from James chapter 2 and verse 23, the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. When we understand who God is and who man is, we must surrender to God. We must worship God. Yet many have not come to that understanding. And when we understand that we are to surrender to God, to worship him, we need to understand what surrender means. That means to yield to the power of another, to give up possession of something under compulsion or demand. God demands that we surrender certain things to him, to relinquish, to give up completely. The word we are more familiar with is submission. We are to submit to God. Sometimes we sing the song, all to Jesus I surrender, but do we mean it? We want to keep everything we want to keep and surrender just a few things to Jesus. Before we get into looking at some of the things that Abraham surrendered or submitted, I want us to look briefly at a few slides just to help us to understand Abraham and who he was. So Abraham, God made the promise to him. His wife was Sarah. They had two children, Isaac and Ishmael. Then you have two genealogies that follow from that. Ishmael was cast out. He was the son of Abraham's handmaid, Hagar, the Egyptian handmaid. But Ishmael was also made a great nation. He was the father of the Arabs. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Again, Esau, his lineage became great. Esau was the father of the Edomites. The Edomites are the nation that the Herod family descended from. And it's interesting, too, when Abraham had Isaac and Ishmael, when we come down to Joseph, Joseph was sold as slaves to the Ishmaelites. So throughout the Old Testament, you see, basically, it's a story of a family that was at odds with each other. We learn a little more about Ishmael, and Hagar had her son Ishmael, and he lived in the wilderness of Paran. Ishmael becomes an archer and married an Egyptian. And God describes Ishmael in Genesis 16:12. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. One of the things that's interesting about Ishmael, Ishmael had 12 sons who became rulers also. And each of Ishmael's sons was a tribal chief settled everywhere from the Persian Gulf to the border of Egypt. And from the 12 sons of Ishmael are derived the 12 tribes of the Arabians. Now, Ishmael also had a daughter, and depending on your translation or footnote, there's two different names, but Ishmael's daughter married Esau. So you have Abraham had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. You come on down to Esau, and he married the daughter of Ishmael. Esau had other wives. So basically, you have two cousins marrying each other, which was not uncommon at that time. One of the other interesting things I had read about but had forgotten, when Abraham died, the half-brothers Ishmael and Isaac both attended the burial of their father at the cave of Machpelah in Genesis 25:9. You think about this, these two sons, sons of promise that went separate ways, both of them became great nations, yet when Abraham dies, they come back to the funeral of their father. Islamic tradition holds Muhammad descended from Ishmael. And as we look at this, we're going to see Abraham was the father of the faithful. He didn't question God, but he immediately obeyed God. So we want to understand several things as we go through Genesis. We want to understand the nature of God, and that God wants a certain character, a certain nature in us. And we are going to see that laid out in different people. When we think about surrendering or submitting to God, one of the first things I want us to consider is that Abraham surrendered his country. In Genesis 12:1, the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family and your father's house, to a land that I will show you." It was over 1,300 miles from his homeland to where he was led. Hebrews 11:8 says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of a place which he would receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going." When God told him, "I want you to go," Abraham didn't know where he was going. He put his faith in God. And this, I think, is a timely lesson for us now. We must surrender our country. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, there's a lot of people uneasy, upset right now because of what's going on in politics. Friends, we've got to surrender. We've got to understand we are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven first. Then we are a citizen of the United States. The kingdom of God comes first. Being a citizen of the United States comes second. But sometimes we might not want to surrender and think, oh, I just can't believe what's going on in this country. We've got to surrender our country. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's in heaven. John tells us in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And that's talking about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. But I think that government would fall under the boastful pride of life. So Abraham surrendered his country. Abraham surrendered his family. He left his family. Look at the verse again. The Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. You know, when we are young, I'll make a generalization. When we are young, we are eager to get out of our father's house. We want to get out and be on our own. But the older we get, I think the more we want to have our family around us, to be a part of that family. And God is calling Abraham to leave his family. Was that a test? It was. And it is for us today. We must leave our family. We must surrender our family when we become Christians. They may be of the world, and we leave our family to become a member of God's family. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 10, and I've come to set a man against his father, daughter against his mother, daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law. Did he come to create problems within the family? No, but by his teaching in Matthew 10:37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. God wants us to love our mother and father, but God wants us to love him more than our family. If we put our family before God, then our family becomes an idol. Abraham gave up his family. Consider this, Abraham gave up his own wisdom and judgment. Back to Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. How many of us would just up and leave our family and go to a place that we didn't know where we were going to? We didn't know. That goes against some of our wisdom and judgment. That may not make sense to us. There may be some other things in God's word that does not make sense to us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You tell somebody out in the world about Jesus coming to this earth to die for our sins, and that we need to be baptized so that we can be saved and go to heaven. And some people are just going to laugh at us. And they'll say, well, that's foolish. That's foolish. That's a fairy tale. Some people don't understand it. We've got to, though, surrender our own wisdom and judgment and put our faith and trust in God. In 2 Kings 5:11, Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal my leprosy. Naaman was full of pride. He had leprosy, and he thought, how is he going to be healed? That the prophet would come and wave his hands and call on God and say, God, heal this man. That's how he thought. That was his judgment. But how is he healed? There is a little servant girl sent to tell him to go dip in the river 7 times and then he would be healed. In Numbers 21 and verse 8, the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. Does that make sense? That sounds kind of silly. You take take brass and fashion a serpent out of it and put it on a pole, and you look on it, and you'll be healed. You won't die. But that's what God said. That's what they did. And they could count on the outcome. Does it make sense? To a lot of people, it wouldn't make sense. Mark 16:16 says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Does that make sense to a lot of people? A lot of people say that's foolishness. We've got to surrender our own wisdom and judgment, just like Abraham did, if we want to be found accepted by God. Well, something else we notice about Abraham, he surrendered his personal privilege in the interest of peace. He gave up his rights for peace. When you turn in Genesis to chapter 13 and begin reading at verse 7, "And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's flock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock," Lot being his nephew. "The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abraham said to Lot, 'Please, let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I'll go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I'll go to the left.' And Lot lifted his eyes and saw the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east and separated from each other." So Abraham, he was the uncle, he was the older individual, he was rich. He had all these flocks and herdsmen and servants, and his nephew Lot was with him. But there were too many people and flocks to have all together. And he didn't want strife between him and his nephew and between his herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. And he says, "So I tell you what, Lot, you survey the land and you choose the part that you want, and I'll go the other way." Did Abraham have to do that? No, he didn't have to do that. But he surrendered, he gave up his rights for the sake of someone else. Next week, I want us to look at Lot, and we'll see. Lot was a righteous person, but he made some poor choices. This was one of them. We'll talk about Lot next week. But we see that Abraham surrendered his rights for the good of someone else. Consider this. Abraham, he gave up his son. Isaac was Abraham's most prized possession. When we get over to Genesis chapter 22, verse 3, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went into the place of which God had told him." This is the account of where God tells Abraham he wants him to offer up his son as a sacrifice. And I want to make a point here. It's important to understand from this account. A lot of people have not learned this. And Abraham is going to offer a sacrifice to worship to God. People, there are some people that think you can worship God anywhere you want to, any way you want to. We learn an important principle here in Genesis 22. "And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.'" God determines the place of worship. We see Abraham and Isaac going to worship, and they are going to come back from worship. Would God have accepted this if if Abraham, instead of traveling, he said, you know, I think we've gone far enough. Let's just do this right now. We'll do it and get it over with. God would not be pleased with that, because Abraham would not have been obeying God as God told him to do. The point to today, God determines the place of worship. And where is that place of worship? It's in the church. It's in the assembly. When we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 20, it talks about when we come together. And then it clarifies that when we come together as the church. Can we come together and not be the church? We can do that. We could all come together and go to a ball game. We come together as the church in one place. That is where God has placed worship. That goes all the way back to Genesis 22. If we try to worship God in a place other than He designates, it's not going to be accepted by God. Abraham traveled 3 days to get to Mount Moriah. At the time, he was living in Beersheba. He told the two young men he had compelled to accompany him and Isaac on the journey to stay behind as he and his son went up to the mountain to make the offering. In chapter 22 and verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them, together. So Abraham and his son are going up. Isaac is not a small child. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And then in verse 9, as we see up here, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything upon him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his sons. In 22:14, and Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. This definition, Jehovah, there are different names to describe Jehovah. Here, this Jehovah Jireh means God will provide. I've heard a song with that name in it on the radio a couple of times. I couldn't tell you how it goes, but it just points out the different names of God, and God will provide. And that's something else we learn about God and about us. Abraham, God tested Abraham. He wanted him to offer his only begotten son, the son of promise. And Abraham was ready to do it. And this angel stopped him. And God provided the sacrifice. In 22:16, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. When we see God, the only option that we have is to submit to him, to worship him, to do what God tells us to do, because he is God. He is God. He created everything. He's the one that sustains everything. We're going to stand before him as our judge. And what are we going to do? No, God, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. We can say that. And just like he will reward the righteous, he will punish the wicked, the unrighteous. And when we say, no, God, I'm not going to do that, he'll say, that's your choice. I've got a place prepared for you who do not want to do what I say. Come on in. It's our choice. But we see that Abraham surrendered to God. He surrendered his son. That would have had to have been a hard commandment, a very hard commandment, to give up your son. Some people think that baptism is a hard commandment. That's just too hard. I can't be baptized. Some people think that coming to services is too hard. You mean you want me to come Sunday morning and Sunday night too and Wednesday night? That's too hard. That's too hard. And what do we learn from Abraham? Abraham was willing to offer up his son. Abraham surrendered more than the rich young ruler. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus in Mark 10:21, Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me." And what did the rich young ruler do? He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, God doesn't want there to be anything between us and him. He's a jealous God, and God is going to test us. Does that mean that God wants us to give up everything? Does God want us to give up everything that is most precious to us? No, he doesn't. He is not going to ask that of us, but he wants us to, if he does, that we are willing to. He's not going to say, go home, sell everything you have, get rid of it, and give it to the church. But if he were to ask us to do that, he wants us to be ready to obey him, to obey whatever he says. I don't think he's going to ask any of us here to go to a country that we've never seen and just have faith and follow wherever he says. But if he were to do that, he would want us to do the same thing that Abraham did. Abraham submitted to God's will. He surrendered to God's will. Just like Saul did in Acts 9. In Acts 9 and verse 6, Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, so he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." See, we must be willing to surrender ourselves to God. That's a big lesson we learned from Abraham. Abraham surrendered his affections. Abraham loved Isaac very much, but Abraham loved God more than he loved Isaac. He loved him even more. Again, Genesis 22:2, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you." The New Testament tells us something similar again back in Matthew 10. "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Again, we are to love our family. We're to love our children, we're to love our mother and father, our cousins, our aunts, our uncles, but we're to love God more. If our whole family comes and shows up at the house on Saturday night and says, hey, we're going to spend the weekend with you and let's go do this and do that tomorrow. On Sunday, we say, can't do that. You can come and worship with us, but we can't love our family more than we love God. Abraham surrendered his doubts. In Romans chapter 4, verses 16, therefore, it is of the faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls things which do not exist as though they did. And one of the reasons Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac was because he believed that God could raise him from the dead. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believes, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. We see the great faith that Abraham had. God made this promise to him that he's going to have a son and all the nations are going to be blessed and his descendants are going to be innumerable like the sand on the seashore, the stars in the heavens. And it isn't happening. And now he's about 100 years old. He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. How's God going to do this? I'm so old. Sarah, she's 90 years old. How is she going to have a baby? And you're going to bless me? Did those thoughts go through his mind? It says he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham knew God was going to keep his word. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Consider these characteristics of faith right here. He believed in hope against hope. That sometimes we think things are impossible. Abraham was not weak in faith. He did not stagger in unbelief. Are we confident tomorrow, what we're going to do tomorrow? Or are we going to worry and wonder depending on who we listen to? Or do we have faith in God, faith in our King that is stronger than our doubt in this country that we live in? Abraham was fully persuaded. Abraham surrendered. He submitted without hesitation. Abraham, back to 22:3, Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. Remember, we obey right away, all the way, in a joyful way. Friends, God desires a relationship with the righteous. God desires that. He desires a relationship with us, but it's conditional. We have to be righteous. Abraham surrendered everything. He obeyed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, friend, are you willing to surrender? Each one of us here, if we want to be righteous, if we want to be called the friend of God, if we want to be rewarded by God, we have to be willing to surrender all. I surrender all. That doesn't mean we are going to have to surrender all. That means we are going to be willing to. God says, this is standing between you and me. We've got to give it up. We've got to give it up. Unwavering and in faith and obey God. We've got to surrender all to Him. We listen to his word. We believe, we repent, we confess that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We're baptized into the waters of baptism. Something that people might say is foolish, but God says do it, and we do it. Then the Lord adds us to his church. We serve the Lord in his kingdom, and he will reward his righteous servants in the life to come. So many lessons from the life of Abraham. Those are just a few. Friends, we need to take to heart to believe in God and his word and act and obey on it. If there's anyone here this evening that wants to be obedient to God's word, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing. Amen.